Welcome to Becoming Whole, a weekly show designed for men, women, and families seeking to draw nearer to Jesus as they navigate topics like sexual integrity, relational healing, spiritual health, and so much more. If you long for more of Jesus in these sensitive and important areas of life, join us on the journey towards becoming whole.
Josh, you wrote a blog entitled, Does Your Marriage Need a Different Sexual Lens? And after I read it, while I was reading it, I really resonated with so much, or actually felt challenged or refreshed, or, you know, just really enjoyed it and thought it was very thought provoking, so much so that I asked my husband, you know, can you and I read that and can we talk about that? And so we did. And we had a really good conversation. Mm-hmm. And so we want to have a conversation about that today. Do our marriages need a different sexual lens? So what, what was it in you that said, I want to write about that? You know, what stirred in you and to create that desire in you?
Yeah. You know, Kit, it's more of a sense that I have. I think as I listen and kind of watch people talking, engaging about sex in our culture, something just wasn't sitting right with me. And it's still kind of hard for me to articulate, but on some level, it seems to me that when I, in the shows we watch, the movies we see, the stories that are written, and even as Christians talk about their sex lives within marriage, I hear little hints that suggest that people are viewing sex as though it is something unto itself. It is an end goal. It is a prize. And even so in marriage, a husband and wife might say, you know, we enjoy sex together, or we had sex together. But if you unpack that more, I wrote before about this even, there's almost a sense sometimes, if you listen closely, that people kind of talk about it as though it's, there's a husband, there's a wife, and then there's something else also. There's something else between them in this. So that's what prompted initially. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think that it created in me and in our conversation, just we kind of took pause and said, so are there times when we approach it like that? It's something we're doing. It's something we're trying to accomplish, something we're trying to get something out of, versus is this a way that we just want to be free and feel free to love our spouse, you know, to in the fullest sense, you know, in the marriage bed, you know, and in nakedness, and that it's not about what's going to happen, what's the thing that we're going to pursue, but more where's love going to lead us?
Yeah. Yeah. And what I was proposing in the blog is this idea of shifting from any way that we might view sex as an unto itself. And there are lots of versions of that, from the, you know, the person who's looking at pornography, which is not about another person so much as my own selfish sexual gratification, to within the marriage bed, where it can still be about one's own selfish sexual gratification, and almost like we're just using each other to achieve that pleasure. And maybe there's consent, and maybe there's mutual understanding that this is what we're each doing in this place. And but I think we can do better. I think that, and that's not to minimize the pleasure, the joy of sex, but it is to say that I think a better goal is if Christians begin to practice thinking and talking about sex as a form of self-giving love. That's what sex is designed to be. This is a husband saying to his wife, this is my body given for you. It is a wife saying to her husband, this is my body given for you. And given is the operative word there, or one of the operative words, because it is about, this is not about what I'm going to get from you. This is about me being here for you and for your good.
Yeah. And that's just so beautiful. I mean, if that was really our deepest heart's desire, I mean, I think what I appreciate what you're saying is when you said we can do better, I think we can do better, because there isn't anything wrong with a desire to satisfy our spouse, to enjoy our spouse. But if we could realize that there's a deeper reality here, And what it made me think of, Josh, was, you know how we're always surprised. I'm always surprised how my intimacy with Jesus deepens month after month, year after year. Like there's always this deeper place with him. And so isn't that true? And so I would imagine then that God created that to be true for us in our marriages. So how could we look at that? How do we have a richer, deeper understanding of intimacy with our spouse?
And I think that lens helps to remove a lot of the stumbling blocks that even Christian married couples run into in their sexual relationships. Like, so say there's just some examples. So a couple who's just gotten married, this is their wedding night, and there are fears about, and I know that Christian couples experience this. There's fears of performance. Will I be able to quote unquote satisfy my new bride or my new husband? Will I be able to bring her to climax? Will I be beautiful to him? I mean, all those things I think are centered around this kind of this concept of I'm supposed to give him something as opposed to I'm giving him myself. I'm supposed to give her something as opposed to I'm giving her myself. Yeah. Once we start saying like, this is an act of self-giving love, we have to then begin acknowledging the reality that like, I'm giving you an imperfect gift.
Yeah.
And we are engaged as two individual people trying to know and love each other with our differences. And so, or another example would be, the husband and wife where, the wife is struggling to, the husband and wife struggle with different cycles that, husband typically can climax so much quicker than a wife. And some marriages, the wife really struggles and that can be a point of great anxiety for the wife and a source of anxiety or difficulty for the husband as well. Mm-hmm. Well, if sex is the goal, if that climax is the goal, that's what we're here for. Then that embrace that night is either a success or a failure. And then the husband and wife can think I succeeded or failed as opposed to if sex is an act of self-giving love, then tonight we didn't reach climax, but I'm going to love you where you are tonight. We're going to love each other in this space tonight. I think it lowers the pressure in some ways.
Yes.
And in other ways, it sets the bar much, much higher.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I really love it. I think it does take a lot of pressure off, and I think it does open up the possibilities of loving each other well. And I don't think that is something we understand very well. I think it is so typical to feel a sense of pressure, that there has to be this, we have to do this right. And we have to, accomplish something. And if we don't, then we failed. And that right there is just wrong thinking, isn't it? Mm. Understandable, but it's just wrong thinking.
I think so. I mean, like, can you think of any other area of marriage that we hold out that same way? I mean, like, okay, you clean the kitchen tonight. I'm going to come check on you and see if how was it?
Did you satisfy my checklist? Did you do it everything right? Right.
You know, we had a conversation at dinner tonight. Like, was it the best ever? You know, I mean, it was great. Was it as good as last time? Do you think I'm a better conversationalist than when we first met? We don't get into all that. We're in that moment. And I think in those other places, we can also recognize seasons of life. You know, it was a really hard day. And so I was shut down more at dinner tonight. And you love me well when you just let me be there. And I think if we can transfer those things into the marriage bed too, I think it can open up some more lines of just understanding and connection. And I don't know, Kit, like why do you think sex became this kind of unique, third thing, this, as opposed to being understood in a way as this is an expression of love, me giving myself to you, you giving yourself to me.
Well, I think there's a lot of insecurity. Like when you were talking, I was thinking, gosh, as much as it looks like we're saying, oh, I want to satisfy you. But it's also about us. Like, I'll feel better if I satisfy you. I'll feel better if it was really good. And so we come into that, to the whole idea of sex and marriage and lovemaking with an idea that somehow I'm going to prove myself. and get some value and some worth through it, instead of just here I am being authentic, being real, being fragile, being tender, you know. It's that vulnerability isn't something that I think we are taught very much about or learn very much about.
Yeah. You're putting your finger on, I think that word vulnerability is, that's key. Cause I think you're right. You know, doing the dishes, there's not vulnerability the same way there. Conversation, there's maybe some vulnerability there, depending on what you're talking about, but not necessarily the same level. But with lovemaking, you're talking about, you know, naked husband, naked wife in this, you know, nothing between them kind of embrace. And maybe that's even part of the temptation towards making sex that third thing, is it's, you know, then that can be the topic, not me, not, but I think understanding that also, if we continue to try to look through that lens of self-giving, I think the other thing that does then is if we bring in vulnerability to that, now we also have that, an added, situation where we are challenged to receive the other's love in our most vulnerable place.
Yeah.
And so I'm not able to be all that I want for you, or I wish I could love you better, or I wish I was less selfish, or I wish I was younger, or I wish I looked more like some model. I mean, I think that's a whole nother conversation, but, and yet you love me. And so now that vulnerability actually can open us up then to even a greater experience of our spouse's love.
Yeah.
And a greater expression, which ultimately sex is meant to be, of what does divine love look like in my utter nakedness, and the good I bring, the bad I bring, the selfishness I bring, the self I bring. God sees me completely naked, and I don't need to be ashamed. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me.
And I think that's a core issue, because how many of us could say that we don't have self-doubt or insecurity about how we look, you know, so we bring that and we're like, oh, you know, sorry, and wish I, and maybe I can, if I do this, maybe you'll see me like that. And, you know, all of that. And if there could be a way for us to really soothe each other in that and say, no, that's not what I'm looking for something much deeper. That would be an incredible gift to give each other.
And I should say for the record that writing the blog that you're referring to, talking about this conversation today, like, I have a vision for this. This is not something that I've mastered. I don't think that I do this perfectly by any stretch of the imagination. It's a journey I think we're all on. And so I think it would be good in the last few minutes we have of this podcast to maybe talk about some of the reality of our failures, or people's failures in this, and maybe some of the realities of God's grace in this. And if there are any practical steps that we might kind of tease out of how can a couple, married couple who wants to love each other better in the marriage bed, move forward in this way and in a way that could be really helpful for them.
Well, you know, the first thought that comes to my mind, I'm hoping that this is, consistent with what you're trying to get at, but I thought of my own self-consciousness, and if I could let go of that, you know, and not be thinking about what's he thinking about how I look, and that I would be so much, I'm not present. I want to be present, not thinking about that, but just thinking about, I want to be present, looking into his eyes and receiving his gaze into mine, not thinking about all that other stuff of my own insecurity and my own self-consciousness. And so how do we just allow ourselves to accept ourselves? This is what I look like. This is how old I am. This is it. And Lord, you know, this is good and beautiful to you. And so it's good and beautiful. And let me think about it that way. Mm.
So practicing laying down self-consciousness, I think, is a good one. A corollary to that certainly would be, and this, I hate that we have to say it, but we do, would be just how this, I think, underscores how important it is that husbands and wives are not looking elsewhere, that they're as much as possible laying down the comparison game and the coveting game. You know, if my husband were more, if my wife were more this or that, even being aware in Christian circles about conversations about, you know, sexual relationships between husbands and wives, that there is a variety of temperaments, timetables, that kind of thing. So it's,
yes.
Again, the goal is not, I mean, so just the comparison there, like, you know, the husband, I'm not trying to throw husbands under the bus. I know this can go both directions, but so if a husband is, for example, has a habit of lusting, it's going to be very difficult for him to have his mind fully focused on giving himself to his wife, that this is the one I'm seeking to love. But laying lust aside and doing what he can to lay lust aside then can also, makes that marital embrace a safer place for her because she's not being measured against somebody else. This his eyes are for her and her alone. In a similar way, a wife might, you know, hear her friend talking about, you know, the husband takes me out to dinner once a week to a fancy restaurant. And, you know, we have sex three times a week on a schedule and it's wonderful and blah, blah, blah. And, well, you know, okay, that couple makes a lot more than we do and I can't afford to take you out each week. And we've got seven kids at home and he's a very different man than me. And so the objective isn't, you know, like, I want you to be something. I want you to bring me something else as opposed to like, this is my opportunity to love you. I meet you here. So laying down a comparison game, I think, is another.
So huge. Being able to say, what's our marriage like? How are we uniquely, ourselves in this marriage? It doesn't matter what other people do. What matters is what we do, what we choose, what we want, and really feeling free to have a vision for that, you know, an understanding, a mutual understanding, like, you know, this is good for us to decide and to let grow. And I think that's really important. So it's the comparison thing. And then also just like, you know, having a vision saying, this is our marriage. Hey, we get to figure this out together, grow in this together. Yeah. And that's exciting.
Yeah. I think another practical would be practicing delighting in your spouse as an active practice.
Yeah.
The old marriage vows are how do they go? They're I thee worship, which is really grates against our idolatry sensibilities these days. But I think the concept was I delight in you. And so where lust would say, I'm looking for a certain type, love says I'm looking for you. And so what do I delight in you? The certain curves and spaces that, you know, how you look specifically, the parts of you that specifically delight me, the things about your personality and your voice or your temperament that specifically delight me. And that does mean also making the choice sometimes to lay aside the criticism of parts that don't delight as much, you know, because embracing those as a part of the whole. To put a point on it, like I wouldn't trade these aspects of you that I delight in to get rid of the other pieces, because everybody's a human. We all have, just places where we don't connect and places that we do. I love you. So,
And to really pay attention to what do I delight in, and to pay attention to sharing that.
Yeah.
Those are good things.
One final one that was very practical and kind of poignant, I think, I got to think more about it to get it more practical, but I think, in the marital embrace during sex between husband and wife, I think it's really helpful just to keep in mind that although you may not do it perfectly, you aren't doing it perfectly, most likely, seeking for how can I give myself to you in love right now? And continue to have that conversation before you, to talk about it together, but love being not just giving you pleasure, that can be an aspect of it, but I'm here for your good. Giving myself to you for your good.
That's
got to be in there somewhere. And again,
if you give yourself to the other person for their good, you're experiencing not just a beautiful physical pleasure, but you're experiencing a whole lot of other beautiful things.
if you're
really able to do that for one another, that's just that vision, that wider vision that we could explore and just think about and pray about and talk about.
And real love, we'll end with this, real love always, this side of heaven, includes sacrifice. And so there will be times where it will mean, real love will mean abstaining. It might mean, I know couples who would say, you know, if you're not coming to climax, neither am I. because I'm here with you and you're with me. And I'm not saying every couple needs to do that, but that's one example I think of really choosing, like we are going to love each other and not just this act. So, well, Jesus, we've all got a long way to go. We just want to submit this to you, Lord. This is not about perfectionism or some kind of moralistic, uptight teaching, Lord. It's really, we're just trying to lift our eyes from the morass of the way the culture views sex as something unto itself. Lord, we want to have eyes to see people as you see people. And so Lord, for every married couple listening and every person listening who hopes to be married someday, I pray that you would continue to grow our clarity about your design for sex, your heart for sex. Lord, that we could become people who love better and better and better in all ways, including the sexual arenas of our life. We ask all these things, Lord, through your grace, with faith in you, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Becoming Whole. Becoming Whole is an audio ministry of regenerationministries.org. If you would like more information on Becoming Whole, Regeneration Ministries hosts a variety of articles, podcasts, programs, and events to support you on your journey. Until next time, God bless.